We spent the last month or so, as you'll know, focused on prayer. And it's been a wonderful time. We've not just talked about prayer, but we've actually participated with one another in prayer, praying with each other and praying for one another. And we've done this largely in our Sunday gatherings as we've come together, but we've also done this during the week in our small groups, which has been wonderful, bringing our prayers and requests before God. And what we've found is that God has miraculously moved on our behalf. And we heard from Cindy last week about healing that took place in her body, having been prayed for, how she woke up the night after that Sunday evening meeting, having been prayed for, and experienced healing in her body. So praise God. If you didn't hear that she shared that testimony with us, which is really encouraging. So let's keep praying, not only for the large needs, but also for the small needs that we all have and that others have around us. But today we're just going to shift our focus a little bit from prayer to what it means to be the family God or the household of God. Not that we want to stop praying, we continue to pray as a family. That's an integral part of who we are and what we do as followers of Christ. In the coming weeks, we want to look and seek to understand what it is to be a community of faith. And we are looking at what that means for us, particularly here in Waiuku today. But also, as we look at the scripture that I'm about to share with you, we need to bear in mind that as Jesus is writing to the Church of Ephesians, he's writing to a particular context which isn't exactly the same as ours. So we need to understand what it is that he's writing to when he says what he says. So Paul uses quite a few metaphors to paint a picture of what the church is like. And one of those ways in which he does it is he talks about the body of Christ. And he uses anatomical terms like sinew and muscle to explain how we're somehow connected to each other. But he also uses family language. He talks in terms of us as being a family of God, a household of God. And so these sinew and muscles take on terms of relational interconnectedness. It's not just some cold medical term. It is rather all hinges upon our interconnectedness and our relationship with God and one another. And Paul has a great deal to say about these relational dynamics in the family of God, in the household of God, and particularly in the book of Ephesians, which we've been really looking at for some time. And in this letter, after his customary greeting, almost immediately he gets into talking about this particular thing. So in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, in the New Living Translation, he says this: God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Isn't it wonderful? So, there is much here to be helped for us to understand about what the family of God is. So, but before we dive into it, as I've said, we need to understand the context of which Paul is speaking to. And so Paul is on a pioneering journey, mission, around the Mediterranean region. And he's going around and he's preaching and teaching about Jesus and the way. And as he does that, when a household or a family of God is established in that place, then he organizes in such a way that the work will carry on without him, and then he moves on to another place, and then he plants another small family household of believers there, and he teaches them the way of Jesus and what they are to do in following him. And if we read in the book of Acts about the goings-on of the early church and Paul's part in it, one of the challenges that he had in doing this was what was between Jews and Gentiles, the challenge of how they understood one another and how the things that kept them apart. So for those early Jewish believers, they really struggled to see how these non-Gentile believers could be brought into faith with them, how they could be incorporated into the family of God, integrated. And for those Gentile, those non-Jewish believers, they also struggled to understand how it was that they were actually being brought into this new family as outsiders and exiles, as you read elsewhere in Ephesians, wandering exiles, strangers to God. The words that in that scripture that I just read in advance help us to remember that this is a really much larger picture and a longer story than sometimes we stop to think about. This is something that God has desired from the beginning, in advance of even that time or this, that he wanted to do. He wanted to establish a family where those divisions and those things that kept us apart would be dealt with through becoming one in Jesus Christ. And so it was his plan all along that Jesus would come and speak and act and do what we couldn't do on our behalf. But now he charges us to also to step over those lines, to reach out to others past these differences. So for the Jews and Gentiles, the only way that they could really do this, the way that Paul was trying to convey to them something that they found really, really challenging, was, hey, Jesus has come and now this is made possible. So for us today, how do we learn to live as a community of faith? How do we learn to act like this kind of family? Well, we choose by living the way of Jesus ourselves. We reach past those differences that would otherwise separate us, and we start to embrace and celebrate even those differences. And we find that there are such good and holy things, beautiful things to be experienced through other people who may not be like ourselves. And we definitely need the empowering of the Holy Spirit in how to do this. The word adoption also crops up in this verse, and it's an incredible word. It's a very powerful word, and it speaks to us in terms of God's story, because it speaks of him having chosen. It speaks of him having invited, having welcomed, having made us feel wanted to be in his presence. He's delighting over us. He's loving us by choosing to adopt us into his family. And God in his wisdom has planned to recreate his new family in Christ this way, because it makes it very clear that he is the one that does the choosing. I mean, when I look at myself and my story, excuse me, I don't think I would have chosen me to be in this family. But I'm glad I'm here by God's grace. And so it is that we don't get to choose who's here. God gets to choose here who's here. And God, in his wisdom, that's the way he's chosen to do it. Who am I to argue with God? Who are we? So he makes us part of his adopted family. And that means that we have other family members around us who may have already experienced what it is to be in Christ and the birthright or the gift of life that comes with that. But when we're adopted in, we too experience what they are experiencing in terms of spiritual blessing, what God has made available to everyone in Christ for everyone's sake, so that we together may be a family of God. In that, those spiritual blessings, we experience things like salvation, we experience healing, love, forgiveness, and redemption. God loves to lavish these things upon his family, the grace of God bestowed upon us all. And he makes known his mystery, the mystery of his will through this. The Spirit of God is available to us to know and experience this new way of life, the way of the Spirit, the way of Jesus. And for us, this means that all of us can have the choice It's a choice we make to experience it in a fuller sense, no matter how we got here or what it is that we've done along the way before we got here. And still today, we continue, don't we, daily, to confess Christ as our Saviour. We need to acknowledge that we need his love and his forgiveness and his will for our lives if we're to experience the real fullness of that. And what a delight it is when we're reminded that it is God that who first loved us. It is he that has called us to be his sons and daughters. It is he that has reached out to us first. It is he that has chosen us. And in choosing to receive that truth, it helps us all to live loved. To live loved. And when we live loved within the family context, it helps us to live the commands of love that we are given for one another and also for our neighbours. And it's through Jesus Christ that God brings us to himself. If we make it about any other thing, any other way to God, then we have diverted the plan. There is one way that God has foreknown and planned it to be, to adopt us into his family, and that's through Jesus, through his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. That is the way that God has done it. And he's restoring us back to the Father so that we might know the Father's love. And God says that it is good pleasure to do this. This is something that he has longed to do for every person that has breath in their lungs. He longs that we would be brought back into relationship with him through Christ. But as we're all aware, of course, growing up in a family is not always smooth sailing. It's not always pleasurable, is it? There are challenges within our own families, different personalities, different circumstances, which can cause our family life, that is in the natural, to be quite rocky places. Sometimes our parents separate, as my parents did. There might rise up sibling rivalries and envies. There could be economic challenges within our families, health challenges, access to education challenges. Life presents us with so many challenges, doesn't it? And we just hope that there'll be some way that these things can be faced and worked through and solved. Maybe that's not your story. Maybe you've had a really stable and healthy and good start in terms of your family, natural family life, which is wonderful. Praise God for that. But it doesn't always work out that way. Whatever happens within our own personal families, it would be great to say that that never takes place within the family of God. But that's not the truth, because we too face the same sorts of challenges, but we're being equipped to face them in a different way. So it's not like everything's going to go smoothly, folks, when we get adopted into the family. I well remember first coming to Christ, and then I sort of slipped out of fellowship and that way of life of following Jesus. And then when I came back in, I had a lot more baggage. I wish I'd not. I started off with a small suitcase and then I came back with two large ones. But I remember that sort of sense of relief. And then as I looked around, I just felt that, no one else could possibly have all the stuff that I was carrying. And it seemed like it was all very rosy in the family. But after a little while, and it's been a while, you begin to realise, hey, we've all got stuff. And some of that can get in the way of really experiencing the kind of family life that God would love for us to experience. So we really, really need to have the Spirit of God at work in our lives. If we're just looking at through our old lenses, through just a mindset that we had as that person that we used to be, then we won't catch what it is that God's Spirit wants to do amongst us to empower us to live this new way of life after Jesus. And we don't do this alone. When I walked back into church at that time, I walked into a group of people like yourselves. And amongst those people, those who've been following the way of Jesus for some time, then there is so much available to help each one of us. There is so much wisdom and love and grace that is extended to one another, hopefully. Well, certainly to me. And so much so that Jesus, when someone was trying to get his attention, that his mother and his brother were wanting to get hold of him, there was a large crowd at the time, he said, motioning to his disciples, well, who is my mother or brother? Those who do the will of God, these are my mother, my brother, my father, my sister, whoever. These people who are living by faith in God and through me. And this is really good to know as we're put together to grow up together. We're put together to become mature Christ followers. And that's done in the context of family. We need each other to grow. I need you and you need me, hopefully. It's a wonderful gift. Jesus speaks about our interconnectedness when he uses the metaphor of a vine. And we find this scripture in John 15 and verses 12 to 17. This is what he says. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. So God's intention for his family is that we would experience a quality of life that I believe can only really be experienced when we abide in the vine, just like is being laid out and described for us here. He says earlier on in this passage, the part I didn't read, that God is the gardener or the vine dresser, and Jesus is the vine, the source of life to the branches. And the branches are the place at which he expects and desires to flourish. So it is this desire together that we would flourish, all of us. Everyone in this room, it's God's desire that you would flourish in your lives and that you would grow mature in your faith and that you would bear much fruit. See, a fruit-bearing vine brings great delight to the gardener. God chose to love us, and he chose to adopt us and gift us into the vine that is Jesus. He lovingly tends the vine, and he knows what is best for it, what is best for us. It is for us then to personally respond to Jesus, to embrace and receive his love and forgiveness, his grace and his mercy. And to be welcomed into his family, receiving all that he has paid for and made available to us. And as we grow and work out our salvation and our understanding of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, then we grow to know the Father and the love of the Father in and amongst us together. And as we choose to acknowledge him and that family together, trusting the Spirit to help us and learning the way of Jesus, we begin to be transformed into the likeness of God's Son, Jesus himself. That's his intention in following after him. And this gives God great pleasure to see us growing into the likeness of his own Son. In all things, God extends an invitation to us. He invites us in, he welcomes us into his family, and we have the choice to accept and receive that invitation to respond to the Father's love. It's his actions, it's his prerogative that he extends this invitation to us. But it's our choice to respond to it and to live the way that he would desire for us to live. And it's all made possible through Jesus Christ. And that's what this table speaks of that's before us, the Lord's table, the communion table. On it are represented the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, which were given that we would be able to be co-heirs with Christ in this new way of life. And so I'm going to invite you to come up now and to take those emblems of Jesus' body and blood, and we're going to share those things together, as it were, around the family table. This is the thing that brings us together. This is where we make that declaration that we are one in Christ, that we all have been adopted in on the same terms that Jesus Christ has made available for us. So why don't you come up now and then take those to your seat, and then we'll pray together and eat and drink together. Just close our eyes and sort of read that scripture out to you again, and let's reflect upon the truth of it. Prayed earlier that whatever truth may be spoken to us tonight, we would be able to receive. And I believe absolutely that this is God's word for us tonight. This is what it says. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Father, we thank you that Jesus came and lived the life that brought glory to you, Lord, that he only did what he saw the Father do. And Lord, he even humbled himself to suffer the death, the type of death that he did, in order that you might raise him up again to life. And Lord, this resurrection life that he has won for us and invites us to participate in now requires that we too would die to self, Lord, that we would lay down our rights and our agendas and our way of doing things, and instead embrace the way of Jesus. So Lord, I pray that we would indeed encourage one another as we do this, in ways of loving and reaching out to one another, encouraging, walking alongside in the days to come as a family. And not only that, Lord, I pray that having pioneered and planted this church here so many years ago, Lord, and reached so many lives along the way, that you will continue to help us to reach out beyond these four walls into our community here in Waiuku. Heavenly Father, we pray, Spirit of God, that you would move upon the hearts and minds of those who do not as yet know you, bringing them into your family, God, adopting them in just as you did us. And we thank you, Lord, that you do the choosing, not us. And we welcome them. And we welcome them as you welcome us in. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat and drink.